It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. I'm Dave Richmond. Glad to be with you tonight, or today, whenever you're listening. And with me is Kyle from LaGrange Barber. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right, David. How are you?
That's not Kyle from LaGrange. Maybe we'll get Kyle back. Hey, Bubba, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys? Good to be with y'all. It's been a few days.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to Kyle, man. I look forward to talking to both of you and play with the guys. But apparently, we got somebody else is taking Kyle's mic, I guess.
No, I'm here, David. We were just doing silly voices for the podcast, so I thought it'd be usual on to the podcast.
Yeah, what we need
grown,
to do
we're
is...
grown, we're grown-ass men sitting here on the phone at night doing silly voices to each other.
We need to release our outtakes. I swear to God, I think that people would listen to it.
Yeah,
or maybe not.
So.
Maybe we get more listens that way.
maybe.
Hey, those guys have a personality.
Exactly.
They're actually.
I hear we got children in the background. This podcast is off to a roaring start.
It is a really good start. I'm telling you, man. It's like Mystery Science 3000 at Bubba's house. We're like,
yeah, sometimes daddy duty calls.
Mr. Mom.
Yeah, these last few days have been crazy with the snow days.
Oh, my God, I can't imagine. I had a friend of mine on
Facebook. How much snow did y'all end up getting, Bubba?
Here in the China Grove, Salisbury area, we got about four inches. But about, I'd say, half an hour north of here in Lexington, where my parents live, they got nine and a half.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got my friend that lives in Alamance, and she said they got around 10 inches.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny. It's just spotty. Different spots got. It's like there was concentrated snow bands where people got a lot more snow than others.
I'll tell you what's amazing to me is it really is how with weather. There's times when people, it just paralyzes us in North Carolina, especially in eastern North Carolina. You get, not in the western part of the state, but you go to the eastern part of the state, and, like, the grocery stores have nothing in them.
Well, I mean, David, that's right, that's who you are. I don't know that that's true. I mean, Alamance certainly isn't the eastern part. That's the Piedmont, and their schools have been closed from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They're going to be closed again tomorrow. Where Bubba is certainly the western part of the state. He's saying 4 inches of snow, and y'all have had how many snow days this week?
We've been out these last 3 days, and then tomorrow's a three-hour delay.
Yeah, and that's the western part of the state. Now, if you want to talk about the mountains, once you get up to Boone and, you know, Avery County, Ashe County, on down to Asheville, those guys are used to the snow. But even in the western part of the state, outside of the mountains, snow shuts them down too.
I'm just saying that I'm saying I can speak for us. I can't speak for Bubba because I don't live there.
I'm just
talking about how, like,
snow shuts us down.
Generally speaking, not this particular time, but how you have school systems who actually, you know, they'll wait. Our school system is the worst for waiting to the last minute. Oh, yeah, by the way, we've decided to have a two-hour delay. Like, dude, can you tell me at 5 o'clock?
Yeah.
Wait till, like, 9:30 at night, or the worst is even at least you have a night's notice. Sometimes you have where school systems, this is a great podcast, isn't it? We're going to get to ECU stuff, I promise, in just a second. But how school systems actually wait till the morning. I've had that happen when we were living in Durham, and the oldest, he was actually a teenager at the time, a freshman in high school, and I'm working my regular jobs and retail, and I had to literally figure out a way to get my stepson home because they had decided once they got there that, oh, God, we're going to have another storm, and you got to leave. It was just really poor planning, so it is what it is, right?
Yeah, we had a day kind of like that last year. The kids were there a couple of hours, I guess, but we had to dismiss about, we found out a little after 9 o'clock. The kids get there at 7, found out a little after 9 that we were going to be dismissing. And so
Kids get there at 7 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. Because I have to be there by about 6:50, and then yeah, the buses start rolling in at 7, and then car riders arrive shortly thereafter.
Good God, do y'all get out at 1 o'clock? I mean,
we get out at 2:30.
Good God, it seems like you're going. Man, that's wow. I'm not going to complain anymore.
It's 7.5 hour day.
That reminds me, you saying you get out at 2:30. Do you know? What time the Chinese dentist does all his appointments?
I'm afraid to ask.
2:30.
Well, wow. Okay. Okay, let's reset. Can we? All right, Mulligan. Welcome into the Sports Rejected Podcast. We wanted to talk. We're having fun tonight. We're very giddy and excited. The holiday season. I know we're going to have a Christmas show coming up. We've got a New Year's show, end of the year, New Year's show coming up. A lot of great stuff. And next week we even have a show on. I keep wanting, I don't know why, because you guys are not NFL guys. I keep wanting to call it next Wednesday the draft. That just drives me crazy. I know better. And I keep getting.
Yeah, early signing day next Wednesday.
Do what?
You're talking about National Signing Day.
Correct. And I know that it's National Signing Day, but every time I'm getting ready to say National Signing Day, I keep saying keep wanting to say draft. So I just think
yeah,
it's,
and it's technically early signing day, but
right.
I think most kids are going to sign. We got to do something about some offensive linemen, guys. We had another, you know, we had another player decommit today, and it was an O lineman, and we only have one O lineman with this class right now. So that's something that you know, people. People were praising this class, you know, but Montgomery hadn't put together a strong O-line class. It's highly rated, but it's mostly skill position players. And so with losing one of our O-line commitments.
Yeah, it was the JUCO, Bailey. And,
right.
I'm trying to recall how to pronounce his last name.
Yeah, I don't know what that kid's thinking. I mean, maybe he's got a Power 5 offer or something, but you get the chance to come play offensive lineman for Steve Shankweiler. You know, he's developed some good ones. So, anyway, but Coach Shank and Coach Houston, we need to – they need to work some magic between now and not so much early signing day, but, you know, national signing day in February. We need to get a couple of O-linemen signed.
Speaking of which, I've been happy with – I've been very happy with Coach Houston – but first of all, let me say the staff he's put together, which is mostly JMU staff, but I'm very happy with the staff. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, I mean, you got Donnie Kirkpatrick, Steve Shankweiler, both coming back. They're a defensive coordinator. What's his name, Bubba?
Trott.
Bob Trott,
yeah. Very experienced coach, you know, been a defensive coordinator at all kinds of different levels. I'm very happy. Bubba, do we know yet for sure if Blackwell? I guess he's not staying. Do we know that for sure yet?
I've heard mixed things. Like I heard that he was not. Then I heard about the offer of linebackers coach. Then I heard that he was not taking the linebackers coach. Today I heard something about there's rumors that he's going to be the defensive coordinator for Charlotte. I read that on Hoist the Colors, our good friend Steven Igo. Give him credit.
Okay, so that's the latest. He's going to be the defensive coordinator for Charlotte?
That's what was out today. Of course, that's on, a message board. So no offense to I love HTC, but
was that posted by Igo, or was that posted by
No. It was one of the subscribers of Hoist put up there asking if that was, I guess, like, it's a rumor. So.
Okay. Bubba, do you have any info?
I had not seen that rumor regarding Coach Blackwell to Charlotte, but that would be a heck of a hire for Charlotte, that's for sure.
Yeah, it'd be a good hire and good for him.
Good hire for Will Healy. I mean, a guy, I really like that hire by Charlotte. Will Healy, someone who yes, he doesn't have a ton of experience, but it was remarkable, no matter what level, what he did, the turnaround he executed it. At Austin Peay.
At Austin Peay.
But they had lost 43 out of 46 games, including like 25 straight or something. Pretty crazy.
Right.
And so they turned it around and had a 8-4 season in his second year.
Yeah.
I have a question for you guys.
All right.
As far as coaching is concerned, and I'll throw this to both of you, what do you think about the rumors of Ruffing McNeil to our good friends in Boone, Appalachian State?
Well, I mean, the question is, how much interest does they have in him, and how much interest does he have in – how much mutual interest is there? Is he truly a candidate? You know, is that somebody they're looking to pursue? Is he looking to lead the defensive coordinator at Oklahoma to become the head coach at App State? I mean, does he want to be a head coach again? I think he'd do a good job there. He has – you know, he was there as an assistant a couple different times.
Right.
It's his home state. If he wants the job, I hope he gets it.
Yeah. He's a tremendous recruiter. And I'll just say this. I've read some comments on Hoist, and, you know, people are people. But I don't understand, and I don't want to spend the whole podcast on this, but I wanted to ask you guys on purpose.
I can answer this. Well, go ahead.
What do you think I'm going to ask you?
Why so many people are negative towards him?
Yes.
Because they're idiots who believe rumors that aren't true.
Okay.
Half of them don't even know what the rumors are. They just hear crap. Look, there was these rumors that he was easy on kids at practice. Bull crap.
Yeah.
There were rumors, you know, the whole thing where him and Comfort got sideways about the stipends. And
right.
And him supporting his players and saying, look, you guys don't want to go do the extra work for Connors until you get your stipend. Fine. You know what? I don't have a problem with him doing that if he did do that. He was backing up his boys. And then I'm not even going to acknowledge the other rumors I've heard because they're nonsense. I don't even know if you guys know them. I don't know if I've ever even discussed it with you guys to see if you know them. We'll talk about that off the air. But it's because people believe things. And I have some other personal opinions why I think some people don't like Ruff that I won't say because I'd rather not even acknowledge
yeah.
it because
yeah.
it disparages our fan base. But I do think there are some people that didn't like Ruff because of those reasons. And read between the lines and figure it out yourself.
Right.
But Ruff is a good man. He's a pirate.
That's what drives me
crazy. And then I heard people say he's lazy, that he wasn't a recruiter. Let me tell you something right now. I don't want to tell our business. But let's just say we know for a fact Ruffin works his ass off recruiting, and we'll just leave it there.
Yeah.
And so
it's funny because I think that Kyle, you and I have talked about this too. That what it comes down to is people actually are so committed to what they, in other words, they were so committed to Ruff being fired. And then when Coach Mo came in, then they had to give every reason in the world why they didn't want Coach Ruff here when the bottom line is he was a winner. You don't win 42
yeah.
ball games and beat six Power Five, especially six ACC schools. I don't care if Lincoln Riley, whomever is here, he hired Lincoln
Riley.
Well,
who hired Lincoln Riley? Exactly.
And who, oh, by the way, they're going playing for a second national championship in 2 years.
Well,
and
you know what's so funny? People were saying, well, we're too many walk-ons. We ain't got enough scholarship players, too many walk-ons. Then look, who's the two biggest surprises on our football team this year? Nate Harvey, walk-on. The little wide receiver, Sneed,
yeah.
Walk home.
Tyler Sneed, yeah.
Yeah. Two walk homes. I mean.
And oh, by the way, Brandon Simmons coached, who is a great pirate, that's a friend of our podcast, who's a contributor from time to time, and who is very close to him still. So we have pirates literally coaching
yeah.
future
Brandon
pirates.
Brandon Simmons, former walk on.
Yeah, and he's a walk on.
The legendary, great, super fantastic Philip Henry is a former walk-on.
By the way, I want to mention, too, I'm glad you said that, Kyle, about walk-ons. Bubba and I were talking, hopefully don't mind, but we were talking this morning about the very fact of something that drives me crazy with that whole term. Just because, let me just, for the Pirate fans out there who don't know, just because somebody's a walk-on doesn't mean they don't have talent. It just means they're not on scholarship is all it means. And I think it drives me crazy. We've got a bunch of walk-ons playing. Well, guess what? Did you know that, let's see, another one, Justin Hardy was a walk-on?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so there's a lot of people that have plenty of talent that, oh, by the way, are in the NFL now. So
that's a chain of sports bars in the deep south called the walk-ons.
I mean, I'll move on because that just drives me absolutely insane. But
random thought.
I tell you what doesn't drive me insane is our great event we're going to have on Saturday. I want people to come out and support folks from the 1978 Independence team because they deserve it. And I'm very proud of what we're going to do on Saturday. And I'm proud of the new friendships we've made with a lot of the players that are coming. And some we haven't met yet, but I'm sure they'll be our friends too. But it's going to be a very special day, right, guys?
Yeah, the 40th anniversary for the 1978 Independence Bowl champion, East Carolina Pirates, coached by Pat Dye, with former East Carolina head coach Ruffin McNeil on the team, Terry Gallagher. Who were some of the other big stars from that team?
Eddie Hicks,
Tony Collins.
The MVP, Theodore Sutton, one of the running backs, he's going to be there.
Man, we had a lot of good running backs then. Good God.
All offensive lineman, Wayne Inman. You have Zach Valentine.
Right.
It's a tremendous
Thomas
group. When you factor in Kerry Gaudette, who was also on Ruffin's staff in an administrative role, director of football administration or something of that nature. I think he held that role prior to Dale Steele. But just unbelievable list of people, just guys that are deep in Pirate history as far as being in the Hall of Fame. And I think when it was all said and done, guys, we were talking about it earlier as far as eight ECU Hall of Famers.
Yep.
When you have Pat Dye and then those guys we just named.
Yeah, it's going to be.
And it's not going to be Kyle impersonating Pat Dye. We're going to have Pat Dye on the phone, right?
Correct. I wouldn't know Pat Dye's voice well enough to impersonate him.
You don't know Pat Dye's voice?
Well, not well enough to impersonate him.
Okay. All right.
Maybe I'll interview Pat Dye as Ed Ogeron.
Or Lou Holtz.
Yeah, I could do it. Oh, that's a good point there with you. That's some history.
Oh, yeah. My God. That would be definitely a long 2 hours.
My Lou Holtz is quite good, so it's my idea. But it's going to be fun. Everybody needs to come out. Not everybody. We don't want everybody there, but a lot of people need to come out to Press Row Cools. 2 to 4 is going to be the main podcast, and we're going to be there after 4. But it's going to start at 2, so come on out and join us. And you get to meet all the players.
I'm excited about that.
Tony Collins is going to be fully clothed.
Yeah, I was going to say he's going to be wearing clothes, so you don't have to worry about
it. Guarantee it.
Yeah.
You come on out and get you something to eat and drink. They got great food and drinks at O'Cool's, and just come on out and join us. Come on out and join us, and we'll have fun.
I promise you the podcast will be way better than the one tonight.
This is fantastic. What are you talking about?
This is what a lot of people tell us they love when the three of us are on here, so we do our best for sure. But
right.
This
will change people's opinions.
I think this one will. Yeah.
Folks, do not let this deter you from coming Saturday afternoon.
Please don't.
This is going to get more people. This is going to get more people coming out. They're going to want to hear silly voices and nonsense, and it's going to be the Morning Zoo live.
Yes.
Yeah, that voice that Kyle started the podcast with, he'll be talking like that for 3 hours.
Lisa,
that's going to be
his alter ego.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
Lisa.
But no, seriously, guys, seriously, it's going to be fun, and it's going to be a cool experience to meet all these guys. These guys, played at East Carolina, you know, honestly, before me and Bubba were born. I mean,
get this. I started thinking about this, and this is funny. I'm glad you're reading my mind tonight. A couple weeks ago when we were, you know, like working, we've been working on this for a while, but we were working on it, and I started thinking about it. I said, you know, Bubba and Kyle were not even born when this game was played. And for myself, I was literally at Mangum Elementary in Bahama, North Carolina, which is north of Durham, learning how to go to school as a five-year-old in kindergarten, like learning my colors and going to, I guess, PE for the first time and music and all that kind of stuff. And it's amazing. Like, you think 1978, or the 40th anniversary, not a big deal, not a long time ago. And then you think about, it's been a long time ago. I'm not in kindergarten anymore.
Yeah, the one of my favorite things on earth, as David knows, is the Atari 2600. I'm a retro gaming nerd, and
Bubba plays a lot of video games.
Yeah, sure he does.
He watches wrestling while he's playing video games.
That's right. at the time, that was brand new technology. It was called the Atari VCS, and you know, that was the hot new technology at the time. So just think about that. I mean,
God.
So many things have changed since 1978.
Yeah, and the VCRs were, like I've told before, $800.
Betamax
for $800 in 1978.
Yeah, you were still listening to 8-track. Woo! I guess cassettes that were right. Had they become prevalent in 78, or was everybody still on 8-track?
It was 8-tracks. Cassettes were out, but 8-tracks were. As a kid, my parents used to have people that are from the era. Well, no, I used to love to listen to music, and so still do. But they had the floor model stereos, like they were like wood cabinets.
Yes,
and you opened up the lid, and you'd have the stereo in there, and you had the 8-track player. And I'd never forget. I thought it was something else. When I finally got tall enough to actually be able to see inside what was inside there and be able to play the turntable or play 8-tracks. I could tell you about some 8-tracks back in the day. I'm a huge fan of Kenny Rogers, and my parents had an 8-track of Kenny Rogers I would play over and over again. So,
favorite Kenny Rogers song?
My favorite Kenny Rogers song. Wow. Obviously the Gambler's huge up there, but I'll be thinking about that while you guys are talking, because I've got some big favorites.
When You Put Your Heart in It.
That's a good one. Well, thank you, Coach.
Thank you,
Lewis,
Bill Lewis.
Yeah. You know, that song really wasn't a big deal until that season. I mean, I knew of it, but it wasn't like a lot of the Kenny Rogers songs, but it does have special meaning now. After the fact.
One of the things about that, Bill Lewis, or so the story goes, that what Kenny Rogers had performed that song was for one of the U.S. Olympic teams that was going to compete, and then Bill Lewis, of course, then.
I didn't.
David Horn, our good friend with the Paradigm G Network, decided to use it for that We Believe video in 1991.
By the way, I think we may see a cameo on Saturday. So if you're a David Horn fan and you want a picture, autograph, our good friend, he's going to kill me for saying it. He's a behind-the-scenes guy. But David Horn, I think, may show up on Saturday. So you'll get a chance to meet him and shake his hand.
Thoughts and prayers with him as he, he recently, I think it was sometime earlier in the week, or maybe over the last weekend, had cataract surgery.
Yeah, we're thinking about him, and he's always been a very good friend. And I tell you what, if you've heard him on the podcast, the guy can do it all. I mean, we could do a whole podcast on his talent, but he can literally be an engineer. He can do color commentary. He's really good, and we're very blessed to have all the people we have on IMG and with the Pirate Sports Radio Network for sure. I love listening to all the games. As far as the – I do want to mention, too, guys, we need to talk about – Kyle brought this up, a very good point to me today, beforehand, earlier, was we want folks to know how they can listen to the podcast or even watch.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that, because I think that a lot of people know about the event, but there's a lot of folks that – for whatever reason, for I've got friends who've had surgery recently, they can't come. People that their schedule, for whatever reason, they're working, and they simply just won't be there. Or there are people that are going to state championship games.
Or maybe you live in the Isle of Malta.
You live on you're so rich, you live on your own personal island.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you are in Texas. I mean, you can't everybody be at our cool, but where can they listen to it live, David? Obviously, it's going to be archived. Anywhere you're listening to us right now, it shall be archived at. So there's going to be certain places you can listen to it live. Where will that be, David?
Well, you could actually listen to on Apple Podcast. I know for sure. I believe Stitcher. Those two come to mind. I'll have to look and double check. We'll definitely, those are the two that come to mind. And then
Blog Talk Radio.
blogtalkradio.com. You can go there, absolutely, Bubba. And others.
Yeah, so blogtalkradio.com, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. You can catch it live. And I think
we'll do. We'll try to see if we can. Yeah, I know. And for the three of us, one of the three will hopefully remember. But we'll try to put a link up on our Facebook or social media. We'll try to have it.
And on Hoist also. We'll see if we can put it up on HTC.
Exactly. Our good friends there. And.
And also, if you go to our Facebook page, we will have a Facebook Live video feed, just like we did for the nostalgia party, where you can watch it and along with hearing it live, you can see how ugly we are. And
I'm upset about that because I was hoping I didn't have to wear pants, but apparently I have to wear pants now. So.
Well, for God's sake, you were going to Professor O'Cool. There were pants anyway. I mean,
so pants are not optional. You have to.
You have to wear pants. Well, I mean, if you're a young lady, you can wear a skirt. But I mean, you know.
Or if not, I have to sit behind the table the whole night.
Yes.
Okay.
You're sitting beside me and Bubba. You're gonna wear pants.
Oh,
maybe
God.
Bubba's okay with us. You wearing pants, but huh? Let's wear pants.
Anyway, that's a whole different podcast. you can tell we are having a good time, and rightfully so. I tell you, a lot of hard work. I want to thank, by the way, and I want to do this on Saturday, but I want to thank Terry Gallagher, who's been a good friend of mine, and also Thomas McLaurin, someone we've also met and become friends with. They have been just absolutely gangbusters. They've just done beyond. It's unbelievable what they've done. They've reached out to teammates, and we're having folks that have not seen each other, players and coaches that have not been back to Greenville. That's what's another thing that's interesting. I'd love to get their take on what it was like in 1978, downtown Greenville, for example. For those of you that have gone to downtown over your time in East Carolina, what was it like in 1978? The discos are going on. The Elbow Room and the Attic. I mean, I could just legendary clubs downtown. That would be interesting. We probably could do a whole podcast just on that. And hopefully sometime we'll have Joe Toronto. I love him when he used to own the Attic, a former owner of the great place where you can see a lot of great shows. So that would be cool. But it's going to be a really good time. And I know folks are probably tired of hearing us talk about it. They're probably ready for the actual thing. But I think it's going to be fun, don't you?
Yeah, it'll be a good time, man. It should be a lot of fun, and it'll be good to meet all those guys, you know, to hear their stories and share their memories, and you know, just it'd be fun to see them interact with each other. You're gonna have guys that potentially haven't seen each other in 40 years, some of them, you know. So it'll be a lot of fun.
2 to 4 on Saturday.
2 to 4.
2 to 4. Well, you know, Pirates, like Bubba says, Bubba gets at 2 p.m. until, but I have a feeling that Linus will Linus will be like, okay, guys, you got to go. No, as long as you're spending money, I'm sure Linus will, and we're not getting any kind of trouble, Linus will love having us there, and appreciate him and Steve and everybody there, because they were great to us for the nostalgia party, and they've been outstanding, easy to work with. And whenever you get a chance, thank them for allowing us to have our shows there, because it means a lot to me. Let's go back to the I know we're random tonight, but this is like basically taping a conversation between the three of us. So we thought we would be very informal tonight, and especially tonight. We're probably always informal, but even more so tonight. Just want to get you guys take on the staff again, and see what you think we can how much of an impact do you think it's going to make on having these guys, I guess is what I want to say.
I think when you take a look at this coaching staff, obviously the first thing that jumps off the page is the fact that he brought Coach Houston had 8 of his assistants from JMU that are coming down with him. You, of course, have Donnie Kirkpatrick and Steve Shankweiler, and those have been well documented. But then I think you have a tremendous, tremendous blend of both the seasoned veterans, so to speak, guys like Donnie Kirkpatrick, who's right there in his mid to late 50s. And you have Bob Trott, who's, I think, 63 or 64. You have our new defensive line coach, Jeff Hansen. And then you also have some of the younger coaches. Of course, you had Brandon Lynch getting retained as cornerbacks coach. And then you have Dudzik, Sims, and Mines, and some of the receivers and offensive skill coaches that were at JMU last year. So I think it's a tremendous blend of some seasoned vets and then young up-and-coming coaches.
I think one great thing is that, you know, I know we were talking about offensive line, which is definitely an issue, definitely a need every year with the Pirates. But I think that what's been tremendous for me for this coaching staff is the fact that Houston is already a proven winner. He already has a staff. Instead of having to hodgepodge and get a whole bunch of guys, like kind of like group them together, he pretty much had it already, his staff that he brought here, 8 out of the 10 coaches. And they have hit the recruiting trail running. And they've done, I think, a nice job of, this could have been easily very disastrous as far as the recruiting class. In fact, I think it's funny that a lot of people that were wanting to keep Mo, they kept using that argument that we're going to lose a whole bunch of guys, and we haven't. As a matter of fact, you look at Freshwater still on the board, Everett still on the board. You have
CJ Johnson.
Johnson's on the board. Brian Gags on the board. What's the quarterback from Reynolds? Flynn?
Alex Flynn.
Flynn's on board. I mean, like all the people that, like the big names so far, like the ones that people were acting like we're going to lose, they are fired up about this coaching staff. And I think what it comes down to, another thing, is because of technology, we're way smarter than our generation because they've got more technology in hand. They know about these coaches. Might not reach every one of them, but as far as like Mike Houston, they know he's a winner.
You have a guy like Juan Powell who decommitted, but he visited last weekend, and by all accounts, according to what Stephen Igoe's put out there on hoistthecolors.net, and as well as what Juan Powell has tweeted, he's been very positive on the coaching change and may very well end up recommitting and signing with us. And Juan Powell's, of course, the defensive back, about a 6'2 or 6'3 defensive back from, I think, the Atlanta area. I know for sure he's from Georgia.
And you know the thing about Juan Powell, if he's your friend, you have Juan Powell.
Do what?
I said the thing about Juan Powell, if he's your friend, you've got Juan Powell.
Oh, wow. Okay. No wonder I missed it. There's a joke there somewhere.
Yeah. Bubba got it.
No, I totally. I must have missed that. I'm awake now. well, I'm telling you, we're gonna have like 1,000 listens for sure. Yeah, as far as when you're talking about the coaching staff recruiting, we'll have a podcast regarding the class next week with early signing day, which I'll go ahead and say that was one of the topics I was going to talk about. I absolutely hate it. I wanted to go back to the national signing day. I think it's February 6th coming up. I just really I'll double-check that date. I think that's right off the top of my head. But I just really – I don't like the early signing day for many reasons. But, hey, Terry Gallagher, it is what it is. And so we've just got to get now where, like you said earlier, Kyle, with the offensive linemen, we're going to have to – I don't know how many scholarships we'll have, but pretty much the only thing we would have left on the board, I would think, would be offensive line. And also, I want to get you guys to take – don't you think we need more defensive linemen? It seems like with the being kicked off the team and different things have happened, the defensive linemen, we have talent at defensive line. It just seems like the depth there is something that concerns me.
Yeah, I don't. How many commitments do we have on the D-line right now?
I don't know. That's what.
Yeah, that's one of those things. And defensive line, that's one of those positions where, as several coaches have said, and I know Steve Logan was famous for saying that God didn't create enough defensive linemen. So a lot of times, and there's certainly a shortage of those. So yeah, hopefully we can find some defensive talent, particularly there in the front.
When are we going to find out about Nate Harvey, if he's going to get another year of eligibility?
That's a good question. I saw a tweet today just talking about the season that Nate Harvey had, of course, leading the nation. I guess it was in TFL, and then finishing second in the nation in sacks. And I think it was Coach Blackwell had actually retweeted that. So, yeah, hopefully Nate Harvey will be granted that extra year of eligibility because, and the reason that's a possibility, folks, is because when he was at Georgia Military College, I believe it was, at GMC, his first year there, I think he only played something like 15 snaps. He played a very small number of snaps, so that's the reason they think that's very much a possibility.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I think he will. I mean, I don't want to jinx it, but I do think he'll get another year. I really do. But we'll see.
Who knows? With the NCAA, who knows?
It depends on what mood they're in, right? I mean, there's no, you know, like if what drives me, speaking of, this has been the What Drives Me Crazy podcast, but what does drive me crazy with NCAA is, you know, like.
You know what grinds my gears?
What drives me crazy is the fact that they, on one hand, rule one way with one thing, and everybody can say every situation's different, but if you go, you know, over the speed limit when you're driving, then you're breaking the law, right? I mean, there's certain things that you know that you have to have standardized that you're breaking the law. Well, I don't understand why. I think that they try so hard. It would be easier to understand if they had just basic rules, but they have rules to rules of rules and interpretation of this and that, and it drives that, you know, how UNC has, they never cheated for 18 years, or they, you know, you can just lawyer up $18 million worth and they get nothing. And then you have schools that, you know, they're not going to give the death penalty ever again. But I find it funny how some recruiting or violations, whether it's academic or that, it's funny how things are, even though, again, I know they say situations are different, but just come up with like basic rules, put it in a rule book, and let us. And that way, for the common man, I'm stupid. I'm a dumb guy. Make it where I can understand it, and not where lawyers and accountants have to figure it out. Okay, I'm done.
I got you. I agree with you.
No, it drives the NCAA. And another topic that we could talk about that I'm gonna get Kyle fired up about is, I know you said it, so I'm gonna give you credit, Kyle. I think it's time, and maybe not this year, but pretty soon we're gonna have to sue the NCAA to actually get some kind of legitimacy for the playoff. And no offense, we have our good friend Ruffin McNeil. We love them, and Lincoln, and all of them. And they're just going by the way things are.
I think they would agree. The so-called group of five conferences, or maybe you'd like to call us mid-major.
nice. Good job. I love that.
Yeah.
There's a Ric Flair for you.
Those terms, we need to get together and sue. Maybe an antitrust lawsuit against the so-called Power Five conferences. I mean, they've created a monopoly that makes it impossible
right.
for us to be competitive. And I think like there could be some. I'm by no means a legal expert, but it just seems like there'd be something there, because if we're all supposed to be able to compete at the same level, they basically have made it impossible for us.
Here's the way I feel about it, okay? Are we not funding scholarships? In other words, we're meeting the same. The thing that drives me crazy about, again, my favorite term tonight, I go back to, but we're meeting the same criteria they are. In other words, we're paying for scholarships, and we said that we're going to do the same thing that they're doing, but yet they have
with
a legitimate.
Stipends, yes.
Yes. And we're doing that, and there's a lot of stuff like that we're doing. And so that's the thing that drives me crazy with it, is the fact that it's almost like that we are not doing that, and then we're complaining about it when we're doing the exact same thing they are. And at least on paper, I understand that, you know, it's Alabama. There's only a few teams, and maybe Clemson. There's only a few teams, and then, of course, Notre Dame and Oklahoma, they're in there in the Final Four. I understand that. Do we really have a chance, like, to win the national championship if even things were? Not right now. But there's always a time when a UCF or a quote-unquote underdog, not a brand name, as Coach Logan used to say, would have a chance to win it. And that's what they don't want. They don't want that. They want it where it's a made-for-TV event where there's only, and our friend Terry Gallagher said it, he counted out 10 teams that they want, brand name teams.
Yeah,
they would have a shot for it, and that's why that's another reason why they can tell you all they want to, but the reason why they don't want to go to eight is that scares them even more, because UCF would have a chance to creep in there.
No, absolutely,
it's more than money, because they could actually make. I mean, my God, if they expanded the playoff, they could make even more money. It's about control of who's in it, and you know, I'm not anti. Any of those schools. In fact, I just say, give us, put us, let us have a chair at the table. There's a lot of great schools that are spending a lot of money. We're spending a lot of money on football, and it's our sport at East Carolina. And I mean, we have other great sports there, but I think that most people would tell you, if they ask them which is a sport that is the marquee sport for East Carolina, it would be football.
Yeah, of course. Hey, to segue off what you're talking about, an interesting topic that has came up in the last week in regards to the American Athletic Conference.
Oh, yeah. The nice
grant of rights.
Yeah, I love it.
That would be fantastic for East Carolina. It would really be fantastic for everybody in the league. The only teams, I think maybe Cincinnati, Houston, and obviously UCF.
Yeah, those three, yeah.
Might have something to say. But here's the thing. If you really get a chance to go to the Big 12, you're going to find a way out of that deal.
Right.
You're going to find a way out of the damn agreement. You're going to buy it out somehow, whatever.
Right.
If it's going to significant, and I hear also now supposedly there's rumblings UConn may be talking to the Big East before they sign this grant of rights deal, which I think that would be stupid on their part. And I understand why, maybe that on the surface you say, okay, UConn back to the Big East, take football independent. That would be a better fit for them. And realistically, it probably would be in terms of what their fans like.
But it would not be financially.
Exactly, because if we're going to sign a grant of rights agreement, then that means we're probably about to get $8 to $10 million per team.
And that would be unbelievable.
And The Big East is never going to come close to that with not having football. So for UConn to do that, I would understand it, but then at the same time, it wouldn't make a lot of financial sense for them because I'm going to assume, and guys, I guess I'm assuming y'all would agree, if we're going to sign the grant of rights, there's going to have to be a significant financial offer on the table. And in my head, it's got to be between $8 and $10 million.
Yeah, there's that's one thing I was going to ask you. Yeah, that's what I was going to say is that for me, for the grant of rights, I love the idea. The ACC, a lot of the other schools, when they lost Maryland, which, by the way, there's a lot of Maryland fans who hate being in the Big Ten, but they went to the grant of rights. And I actually like it, but I agree with you. 1,000, you stole my thunder there, Kyle. That's why we get along so well. That very thing of, I have no problem with the grant of rights, but I would be very upset if we do the grant of rights and then we get cheated again. And I think the American, it sounds like I'm Homer, I'm not, because our school is in the league. When you look top to bottom with 9 out of the 12 teams this year, I would say we're way better than we're definitely, I would say, if you want to say Power 5, maybe with the likes of, except.
Well, you do a caveat. What was I going to say? I'm sure you could do a caveat to that. Yes, we're signing grants of rights as long as we get X number of dollars in TV revenue.
Right.
If not, then we're not signing.
Right. I don't like
now,
the idea.
As far as East Carolina is concerned, just to be honest, the odds of us getting in a Power 5 league are slim to none, and Slim's, boy, she's leaving town. So, I mean, even if it was just going to increase us from $2 million to $4 million per team, from East Carolina's standpoint, I'd be in favor of signing it. But I would imagine you even maybe get down to Memphis. They're probably going to want – what number, Bubba, what number would you think – we would need to see for everybody to agree to that grant of rights agreement per team?
I think you're probably – what you said is probably
–
I'd say that's probably pretty accurate because it's currently two.
Two, correct.
And that's the thing that's unbelievable with the
– the grant of rights talk. And earlier today being Wednesday the 12th, there was an excellent interview with the new athletic director, John Gilbert, on PRL, Pirate Radio Live, at 5 o'clock. And they actually discussed the grant of rights.
And also Mike Oresco was on,
Peter Edmiston.
Yeah. Peter Edmiston. Yeah. Thank you. And they had him on. And one of the issues that I wanted to bring up with the grant of rights, which I'm not in favor of, let me be very careful. Say I love the grant of rights. I'm not in favor of having where you say, oh, yeah, well, we're going to give UCF $10 million, but yet we're only going to give East Carolina $4 million. I don't care what school it is. Thankfully, Mike.
Now, wait a minute. Where did you hear that from?
That was out yesterday. That they were there was rumors that you could look at doing it where to try to keep the Memphises of the world, the UCF.
Oh, like Mount West did with Boise State with their TV
right.
deal. No, screw that.
And thankfully, he came out and said that, you know, the grant of rights thing is not like something that's formally, I think they were just in talks. It's nothing like that's set in stone, but he made it very clear on that show. He made it very clear that they, well, Peter Edmiston, that they are not in the business of doing that in the AAC of giving one member.
No,
like,
you got to have equal distribution. Well,
yeah.
here's the thing. Right now, UCF's red hot. Just a couple of years ago, they were 0-12. We got Mike Houston here now. Who's to say 2 years from now we're not winning the conference and
right.
going to a New Year's Six Bowl?
Yeah.
So
I mean, yeah.
It's not. A smart move, and I'll tell you, it almost killed the Big 12 when they were doing that
right.
crap, and until they got their new TV deal. See, what ended up happening for the Big 12, Texas got to have their Longhorn network, which gave them extra revenue, but then the Big 12 got a good TV deal where now everybody is sharing in around $30 million per school. And Texas's extra money comes from the Longhorn Network, where previously Texas was getting more money than everybody else from the TV deal. And so, you know, that's a bad idea. The Mountain West did it with Boise, not with a grant of rights being signed, but what they did is allowed Boise to sign their own separate television contract separate from the Mountain West. And it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. Everybody has to share equal revenue from the TV contract.
You know, guys, I know that one of the things that we've been talking about is the 1978 Independence Bowl, which obviously we're very proud of our party. We'll be talking about that in just a second. But before we do that, speaking of bowls, Bubba, there's going to be great bowls this weekend. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, the bowl season kicks off on Saturday starting at 1:30. We'll have the Tulane Green Wave, Willie Fritz getting the Green Wave to a bowl game. They're taking on in-state rival UL Lafayette. It's the first time these two schools have met since the last week in September 2 years ago. And that game, I think Tulane won something crazy like 41-39. I was looking at it earlier today. So if this game's anything like that, this is in the Cure Bowl in Orlando, Florida, at Camping World Stadium. And right now the Green Wave is a 3.5-point favorite.
And that game is on CBS Sports Network if you want to watch it. And who do you like in that game, guys? I
like Tulane.
Tulane fired their OC. Who's going to be calling plays in that game? Or is Willie Fritz just going to be doing play calling?
I haven't heard for sure, but Willie Fritz obviously has that background, so.
Man, that's a tough one. What did you say the line was?
It's Tulane -3.5. I think it'll be a competitive game. Don't get me wrong, but I think Tulane covers.
Man, that's a tough one. God, money. I think it could go either way.
And again, Tulane 6-6. And they want a share of the AAC West, and then you have UL Lafayette, which won its division in the Sun Belt and lost to App State in the championship game.
What was their overall record?
7-6.
I
think it could go either way. If you put a gun to my head, I'm gonna take Tulane.
I like both. I agree with you. I saw this on 27. I knew that Bubba that we'd be talking about this and looking at the bowl matchups. And this was the one that really I had to sit there and think, and I still didn't really. I'm going to go with Tulane, but barely. I think that point spread is – that's why the boys in Vegas probably get it right more than not. It's going to be barely them, so probably a field goal like it is. So where are we going next, Bubba, with the next bowl?
Next is Utah State and North Texas. That's in the New Mexico Bowl. And that's being played at Dream Style Stadium in Albuquerque. And you have the 10-2 Utah State Aggies against Seth Luttrell's Mean Green of North Texas coming in with a record of 9-3. Of course, one of the things to keep in mind with
that's a hell of a bowl matchup, actually.
Right. And this is going to be at 2 p.m. on ESPN. And one of the things to keep in mind with this matchup is Matt Wells, of course, has been hired at Texas Tech, and he's hired six of those assistants to come to Lubbock.
Who did Utah State end up hiring to replace him?
They're bringing back Gary Anderson, who was there before, and he had gone to Wisconsin and then Oregon State.
Oregon State, you know, I would have promoted that office coordinator. If I was running things up there, I think that was a mistake. I'm going to say, first of all, I think Utah State is an excellent team, and I thought their offense was unbelievable, and they should have made their offensive coordinator head coach.
You talked about that back in the preseason. I remember we were doing the bowls.
You talked about
Utah State.
Utah State's a 7.5-point favorite. Something else about Utah State and their offense being so explosive. I was looking at it. take a listen to this, guys. They've scored 31, 60, 73, 42, 45, 59,
yep.
61, 56, 62. The fewest points they've scored in the game this year, they've scored 24 twice, once against Wyoming and then in a loss to Boise.
You know, I don't know a damn thing about their offensive coordinator, but just based on that, why in the world wouldn't you make him head coach?
Like Coach Logan, remember, he made him. Dave Hart hired him, promoted him from being the offensive coordinator under Bill Lewis. And that's a perfect example. And look, he only won 56 games for us.
Yeah, I don't know why you would bring Mac Anderson instead of just making a guy head coach. That makes no sense. But unless there's something, I don't know. I think Utah State's the better football team. How much is them losing their head coach and much of their staff going to play into it? Who's coaching that game? Do you know, Bubba? Who the hell's coaching the game? I mean, how many guys are just hanging around? Do you know? Bubba?
Hello? Bubba? Did we lose Bubba?
Yes. You got me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened, but
I
yeah,
muted
I
the phone by accident.
I did not, but I do know that in the past you've seen coaches in situations like this where you've brought someone in. Very rarely do you see it, but you have seen it where you have a newly hired coach the bowl game. So for all I know, it could be Gary Anderson going ahead and coaching the bowl game.
I have no idea what to call on this one because of the coaching staff. If I could tell you, I would take Utah State in a heartbeat if all things were equal, if both, you know, coaching staffs were together. But not only did North Texas not lose Seth Luttrell, to my knowledge, didn't they keep Graham Harrell? Didn't he tell North Carolina to stick it?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
Interesting.
I'm going North Texas on this guy.
By the way, well, how did North Texas get all this money to hang on to Seth Luttrell and Graham Harrell? I don't know what to do because of the coaching situation. You know, I think I'm gonna take North Texas too because of the because of the coaching situation.
Yeah, Bubba? I thought about that because I heard that Utah State was bringing him back and. Most of the time, it's a bad idea. Sometimes it works, but I love North Texas. I'll go with them.
And when you say y'all are taking North Texas, y'all are taking them to win or just them in the points?
No, I'm taking them to win.
Okay.
I am too. I mean,
normally
yeah,
I would take the point. And then
we're not keeping up with this. I mean, it ain't like we're going to come back and, you know, we're not putting money on it, so I'm not really interested in the points. I'm picking winners, so
I'm nervous about the coaching situation. I thought about that, and I was, you know, I thought that Seth Luttrell would not be at North Texas, so I'm just interested in that. But
for them to hang on to him and Graham Harrell is very impressive.
Yeah.
And Utah State, I mean, I can think back to a few years ago, Cincinnati played Duke in the Belk Bowl in Charlotte.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, they had, like, literally people, like people volunteering. Like, there was, like, staff members, not like coaching staff members, but, like, people that worked, like, females that worked in the office, their husbands were helping out to fill out the coaching staff for that bowl game. Do you guys remember that?
Oh yeah, that was really wild.
For the
Bearcats.
How about last year, guys? That matchup in out in Frisco, you had SMU playing. Was it Louisiana Tech? Maybe.
Yes.
And of course, Chad Morris had already gone to Arkansas. So
Sonny Dykes.
Yeah, they had a kind of a weird situation there.
Yeah, where are we going next? We got a couple more, right?
Yeah, next, 3:30 on Saturday. This one's televised on ABC. You have number 21 Fresno State taking on
Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. 7-5 Arizona State Sun Devils finished second in the Pac-12 South, and I think I was looking at it earlier today, and they won 4 out of their last 5 after starting 3-4. Something about their 5 losses, they had 1 by 2 points at Oregon, and then the other 4 were all by a touchdown. So pretty successful first season for Herm Edwards when the jury was out on that move from firing Todd Graham and Tempe.
I'm really happy with I actually like Herm Edwards. I know that people thought it was crazy and all that, but it just goes to show you that all these people, we talk about that at the very intro of our show, but we're not talking heads. You know, we love sports. And the funny thing is these talking heads on ESPN and all, they're, oh, my God, it's going to be a disaster in Tempe. It's going to be terrible. And he got them to, I mean, my God. Oh, by the way, guys, a first-year coach in a new school, and he gets them to a bowl. That's interesting. That's another one we could chalk up. But 7-5, I mean, hey, would you guys take 7-5 in 2019?
Sure. Yeah.
And
with the first-year head coach, Mike Houston?
And that's, of course, in the Las Vegas Bowl. And you have Fresno State is a 4.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I like
go ahead, Dave.
Wow, Fresno State and Arizona State. I'm going to I like – that's another tough one, too. I didn't realize – I forgot that about the Las Vegas Bowl this weekend. Oh, man. I'll go Fresno State.
It's a good game. Fresno had a great season, won the Mountain West, beat Boise out there on the blue turf to win the Mountain West championship. Arizona State, way better than their record indicates. I think it could go either way. I'm going to take Fresno also, but I do think it could go either way.
Yeah, I think Herm Edwards, people don't realize that it's more than he's a great motivator, and I think he knows talent, and I think that I know the people thought that – I understand why they thought it was a crazy hire. However, I didn't – once I got past that, I thought, you know, he could really do a good job. And, yeah, the first season might be a flash in the pan. You never know. But I think that if he can win 7 games in the first year, I'm not saying that I think he'll compete for a Pac-12 championship. Our friend Mike Yam, I mean, he may think the week he could. But I definitely think it's not going to be a disaster is what I'm trying to say.
All right, Bubba, what do we got next?
Next, we have the Camellia Bowl. In Montgomery, Alabama, you have Georgia Southern. They're a 2.5-point favorite over your Eastern Michigan Eagles, led by head coach Chris Creighton.
I think you guys can probably guess who I'm taking.
You're taking Georgia Southern. I know all the way.
I'm taking my Chihuahua's chiming in on this.
I thought you were going to say the Chihuahuas. I thought you were talking about Eastern Michigan Chihuahuas.
Yeah, hold on a minute. Shut up! Okay. Now, I'm going to take I love Chris Creighton. Honestly, you know, just for full disclosure, the one coach I would have taken over Mike Houston was Chris Creighton. But obviously, Mike Houston is a better fit for East Carolina.
Right.
But I do love Chris Creighton. I think Georgia Southern running that triple option is going to be something that Eastern Michigan will have to deal with. And also, Georgia Southern's going to have a lot more speed than Eastern Michigan. But I tell you what, man, I just love Chris Creighton. And I also love their AD up there, Scott Weatherby. So give me the Eastern Michigan Eagles. But that's another good game.
There are a lot of good games, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, all bowls in theory should be good, but these are actually, I think, going to be competitive ball games. But give me Eastern Michigan.
Yeah, something to keep in mind when you're looking at this matchup is Eastern Michigan did play Army And speaking of the triple option, and Army beat them 37-22 and ran for just shy of 300 yards in that matchup.
It's gonna be great. I'm just surprised that looking at the bowl season, I was surprised that the matchup seemed. There's some years that are better than others, but so far what I've seen, the matchups have been really good. Like ones that I would definitely do more than casual, you know, flipping around. I would actually watch some of these games.
Yeah, and that Eastern Michigan Georgia Southern game, when people hear that, they're gonna be like, ugh. But I'm telling you guys out there in podcast land, watch that game. You're gonna see two really well coached football teams. With the Eastern Michigan Eagles and the Georgia Southern Eagles.
5:30 on ESPN.
That's it, isn't it? Is that all the bowl games?
Last but certainly not least.
Oh, New Orleans.
We have the New Orleans Bowl. We have App State, who, of course, will be competing without head coach Scott Satterfield. Now they have interim head coach Mark Ivey, longtime assistant under Satterfield, and someone who is deeply entrenched in that program. The App State Mountaineers are a 6.5-point favorite over Middle Tennessee, you know, Rick Stockstill's Blue Raiders.
Middle depends on, you know, Middle's been kind of up and down, even though they won their division of the Conference USA. That's another good game. I'm going to take App, even without Satterfield. But I do expect a good competitive game.
Yeah, show pony you, Middle Tennessee State. I think, for those of you that listen to SiriusXM, you know what I'm talking about, the show pony. That's his alma mater. I know it sounds like I'm a homer because of the state of North Carolina, but I think even without Scott Satterfield, the talent-wise on Appalachian State, don't you think the talent-wise is better than Middle Tennessee? I mean, they've got good players in Middle Tennessee. I just think the App has better talent all across the board.
Yeah, I don't really know that that talent level is that different between the two. But I mean, App's won a lot more games than they have the last few years, and they won their conference and Middle came up short in their conference championship game. But, I think you can go either way in that game. But I'm taking App, so, yeah, it's a good pick.
Yeah, I think that's a solid tip. But what do you think, Bubba? Your second school is definitely App, right? You have a lot of friends at App and coach at App. And
right, yeah, I have a lot of ties to Appalachian, and I definitely I like the Mountaineers to win this and get to 11-2 on the season.
Is it true that you play piano on that song, Hot, Hot, Hot?
That is
false.
Buster Poindexter. What is his real name, by the way, Cole?
Do what now?
Hot, Hot, Hot. Buster Poindexter. What's his real name?
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
You said on the song, Hot, Hot, Hot.
The Appalachian State, hot, hot, hot. I don't know. What are you talking about? I don't know Buster Poindexter, hot, hot, hot.
No, App's hot, hot, hot. So forgive me. I'm sorry, App.
What are you talking about? That's
Buster. I thought you were talking about Buster Poindexter. I thought you were being silly.
Appalachian was being silly. You don't know Appalachian State, hot, hot, hot?
I really don't know.
Oh, my goodness. Bubba, can you pull it up so David can hear it?
I'll definitely do that.
Anyway,
can we play it where it can be heard on the podcast, or are we just going to have to send it today?
A waste of time. Let's talk about the before we go. We're going to
waste of time. It's not a waste of time. This is important stuff here.
Let's talk about the event on Saturday for folks that have slept through. Probably just woke up from a nap listening to the podcast.
Saturday while I'm finding that excellent tune. I'm sure all my App State friends will greatly appreciate it.
Yeah. Saturday, 2 to 4 p.m., Professor Eccles Independence Bowl 40th Anniversary Podcast Party Event. Be there or be square. And if you can't be there and you are square, then you need to check it out on one of our many places you can listen to it live, like iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Fox Talk Radio, Facebook Live. But David, we're going to have a packed house and a lot of guys there from the 78 Independence Bowl team.
Standing room only, and we're going to make Linus sweat because there's going to be so many people there. What is this?
Hot, hot, hot.
The worst episode we've ever done, and I forgive the people that I apologize to the folks. We are way better than this, but it's kind of like a bad reality show. You get kind of sucked into it, like ID, you know, sucked into it.
You've never heard that, David? That's Appalachian State hot, hot, hot.
Oh my God, it's definitely hot.
You're in the minority because 1.92 million people have.
Oh my God! Well, I'm glad we waited for the end of the show.
It's one of the worst things you'll ever see. It's so bad, it's good.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like this podcast. So
kind of like this episode. Well, yeah. So bad, it's good. Hey, you wait till we get the feedback on this.
Okay. All right. I'll trust you. So we'll see you guys on Saturday at Professor Cool's. And that's again at the Big Lot Shopping Center in Greenville, if you know that, and right behind Logan. But we want you to come to Professor Cool's. Don't worry about the weather. Come on. It's the events inside. And we're going to have a great time honoring the 1978 Independence Bowl team. Oh, by the way, they were the champions of that team. The very third, that was actually the third year of the Independence Bowl in 1978. And we're very proud of our Pirates and Pat Dye and all of the great teammates and coaches and players. And we'll definitely see there. Guys, I can't wait. I appreciate all your hard work behind the scenes. And we've got a lot of fun. We'll see you guys on, and you can see us, and obviously listen to us. That's Saturday live, 2 until 4, and it'll be right here on the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.